You want to hear the word of the Lord?
Yes.
Hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. I want you to turn to Revelation 18. Revelation 18. Way at the back of the book. Now, can everyone see the signs up front? Okay. I want you to pay close attention. You've heard this before. You've heard it many times. But I'm going to share what the Lord has to say today. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God. Hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. This is not future. It's right now. It's exactly what the Holy Spirit is saying to the churches right now. What is happening between now and the tribulation? Plenty. What God is doing is cleansing His temple. What God is doing, this is the third time, He's cleansing His temple. He actually does it a lot, but this is the third time that Scripture would note that He's doing the work of Zerubbabel to build His temple. In order to do that, you have to have a separation. You have to have a separation between the lukewarm, we live in the time of Laodicea, the lukewarm and the hot. Don't worry about the cold. They're easily won over to the Lord. If the Lord knoweth, those are mine. And so you'll see a big harvest. So during the time of the tribulation, it's actually a time of harvest. I'm going to say that again. During the time of tribulation, which is Jacob's trouble, 1260 days, it's also the time of the purifying of the sons of Levi. The Jewish people have not had judges ever since the beginning. But if you'll read in the scripture, it said that I will restore your judges as at the first. Now, what I just told you is the tribulation will not destroy all Jewish people. It will destroy some. And it'll be a trouble like you've never seen before. It's already cooking up now. But this terrible thing will actually produce good fruit. Because the purifying of the sons of Levi means their priests are back, their judges are back. We're back to the beginning of Israel. The way it was supposed to be in the very beginning. And they will then form the Jewish people that make it to heaven and are ready by the tribulation for the millennium. Followed by the devil seeking to destroy us when he's loosed one more time at the end of the millennium, which is just before the great white throne judgment, which is just before the eighth day. The world is 1 week, 1 through 7, and then the eighth day is actually the first day, repeated. It's a redoing. It's a redoing. It's a renewal. And only the faithful will be left at that time. You won't appear at the great white throne judgment. You're up in heaven. You're already heaven. That is Jew and Gentile both. Mm-hmm. Both. So the Jewish people, when will you restore the kingdom to Israel? They haven't been restored.
That's right.
But they are about to be restored. So what's happening to them? They will be second. They won't be first. So when the tribulation starts, they'll be the brunt of it. The troubling of Jacob. Because then all the promises fall down. Not so, because of the purifying of the sons of Levi, who will then make sure that the temple is not only finished and built, but make sure that the man who sits in that temple, the Antichrist, is destroyed. But he won't be destroyed for 1260 days. And he will cause all the troubles to Israel. You may not know this, but the Pope has always wanted Jerusalem as his capital, spiritual capital. Spiritual capital. He's always wanted that. Always, from the very beginning. They tried during the Crusades to take over Jerusalem. They failed because of the Muslims. Same thing now. Because of the Muslims, they're not able to do it. But they will restore the temple. Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel means in Hebrew, a shoot out of Babel. A shoot out of the Tower of Babel. This will be a little shoot. In other words, God's program of having a restored Israel will take place. And when it takes place, they'll be on earth. We and those Jews that were ready when he came will be in heaven. Mm-hmm. We and those Jews that are ready. They will have 144,000 out of every tongue tribe. And we will have an innumerable host. Mm-hmm. You cannot number it. That means it's in the maybe, you know, trillions or billions, whatever it is, billions. It may mean that, but at any rate, we're going to have a lot. You won't be able to number them. It's hard to number thousands and thousands and thousands. You know, I remember the angels, thousands and thousands and thousands.
Like the Trump inauguration.
Exactly. Yeah, you were there.
You estimate.
Yeah, you were there.
That's an innumerable host.
Yeah. It is. You cannot number them.
I can't distinguish.
Yeah. It's too many. I mean, you can't count on your fingers and toes.
Yeah.
So, it's innumerable. You need a computer.
Separate them all out. Is that two or one?
All right. Now, let's read the scripture for today in the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation. I told you that God is cleansing his temple. You remember the first time he cleansed it? First time he cleansed it was on what we call Palm Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
He came in and he emptied out the, you know, the money changers. He turned over their tables and the coins were all over the place and they were scrambling for those coins. And the birds were let out and lambs were set free. I mean, it was chaos. That's the time he... So that... Peggy has called that the first forgiveness for sins. And then the next 4 days he taught in the temple about the first action for introducing the kingdom of God on earth, which is us. And then he prepared himself since Maundy Thursday, which is the Thursday before the resurrection, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, 3 days, three nights, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 3 days, three nights, 3 days. Now, I just solved a great mystery in the body of Christ, which many people have confused. Did he actually, was he crucified on a Friday? Yes. We know exactly what hour, what day. And in the days when Jesus did this, all three festivals fell right in a row. They don't always do that. But on that day, they all fell on Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, that is Friday, Saturday, Sunday days. Because the day begins for the Jewish people the evening before. So evening to evening. Evening to evening. That's the way God numbers our days. So you read the scripture, you'll be mixed up if you think a day is what you think a day is. The day is always then from Sunday evening or Saturday night, depending how you calculate it. So the first day of the week is actually Sunday. In other words, he created the world on Sunday, but it's Sunday evening, which is Saturday night for us. That'll make you up. It'll make you crazy if you try to think about that. But I'm telling you is the Bible is accurate. It's completely, totally, 100% accurate, mathematically accurate. So whatever confusion people have, I'm sorry about that, but God deliberately did it that way. He knows how he created the world, and it began on Sunday. It began just like the resurrection began on Sunday, just like the priest was chosen on Sunday. Everything in the Bible that has to do with God beginning something new happened on a Sunday. You don't know that. I'm telling you that. You don't know that. That's when the priesthood, that's when everything was introduced. The morrow after the Sabbath, the morrow after the Sabbath. So, Sunday. The Sabbath is Saturday, which begins Friday night to Saturday night. So, again, I'm mixing you up, but I'm sorry. I have to speak the language of heaven, and the language of heaven is accurate, whereas our own calendars and so on and so forth may be accurate in our understanding, but they are not accurate because they don't even know what a day is. This is the day. This is the day when God is cleansing his temple. So the first time he did it, Palm Sunday, that is the Sunday. The second time he did it was 1 week later, resurrection morning. So he delivered us on resurrection and he forgave us on Palm Sunday. And he taught on that for 4 days so that you could see if there was any blemish in that lamb. You have to check a lamb for 4 days in order to sacrifice it, to see whether there's anything in the teeth or anything on the burr on him or a tick or anything. You have to check it to see if there's one stain, one blemish. Otherwise, the bride will not be ready for her bridegroom. Now, you are the bridegroom of the Lord. Do you understand that? You are the bridegroom of the Lord. How? By works of the law? Not. But by promise which you believed. I'm going to tell you that promise. You believe that promise. This is the jail door right here. You believe this promise. There's a sign on this. You're in jail. You're behind this door. And there's a sign on the door, a piece of paper, that is like this. Let's say it's 8.5 by 11. Doesn't matter the size of it. And it says on there, 20 years for this person. 21 years, whatever. Some years for murder, whatever the crime is. And it says, this person has to stay in here for 20 years. And it gives a date. He entered such and such, and then he'll be released such and such. So you have to pay the full price. There's no arbitration here. There's no dickering. It's fixed. It's fixed. 20-year sentence and fulfill it all. Pay the last farthing.
No time off for good behavior?
No time off for good behavior. Now, don't think of people. I'm just telling you, you're behind that door, and the sign on your door is you owe. You have a debt you can't pay because it says be perfect and none of you are perfect. I'm not perfect. David and I come close, but we're not perfect. No, David and I don't come close. We're way behind y'all.
Ask our wives.
Yeah. So we are not good examples, except there is one thing that makes us holy, our faith, that Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer, will redeem us, forgive our sins, and deliver us from the enemy. Forgive our sins and deliver us from the enemy. Someday that criminal, after paying the 21 years, whatever the number is, he will then be set free when he's paid the last farthing. But in your case, you don't have to do it.
Amen.
Because we're not saved by works. We're not saved by working the law. We're not saved by behaving ourselves. We're not saved by what we do, good or bad, because they're the same. Good and bad are the same. That's the world's understanding. Good is when I'm moral. Bad is when I'm immoral. But the world cuts it wrong, because the division is between spirit and soul, not between body and soul. So this world doesn't care about spirit.
Right.
It only cares about body and soul, psychosomatic. That's all this world cares about. It's a Greek idea. So the Greek knew there's a word spirit, but it's just the spirit of the soul. So it's just moral. And all religions, every religion in the world is Baal. Every religion in the world was invented by Nimrod that said, let's build a tower without God, but call it God. Hypocrite. He joined church and state together. He was Imperium, the emperor, political, but he was also Pontifex Maximus, the same thing the Pope is called today. He's the high priest. So now he controls you, spirit, soul, and body. That is tyranny. Despotism, unlimited government, arbitrary government, will of man conquering the will of God. But God says that we must submit our wills to God. We must submit our thinking to God. Take every thought captive to the word of God. The Bible says you must have your emotions be happy all the time. We ever been happy all the time? Why, things irk us every day. We get irked at ourselves long before we get irked at a brother or sister. And then we sin against them, and then we're irked about that too. So irking is normal, because people are obnoxious. People are obnoxious. People do not... I tell you, people are not easily controlled. You try to control somebody, and it's impossible.
Yes.
Did you know that nobody here has ever obeyed God? Nobody. Even Christians. Even Christians. We don't obey God either. Because no one has ever worshipped Him with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength, except by faith. Or love your neighbor as yourself, except by faith. That's the only way we do it. So the forgiveness has to be first, chair 4. And then chair 6, going through death to get there. Chair 6 is when you're dead to this world, and you're alive to God, and been resurrected out of the realm of the dead. So this process here of chair 4, 5, and 6 is the perfect man. This is the perfect man. They begin in faith, and then faith is active in love. And then you become a lover through discipleship, through training. Now, I want you to read now. He did those two things. Those are the first two cleansings of Jesus. Now is the third. This third is so important because he's about to come back. After 1260 days of the Antichrist sitting in the temple of God, because he will declare himself God in the temple, and there'll be human sacrifice during that time. But he will declare that he's above the law.
Human sacrifice? You mean like?
Human. I didn't mean that. Animal. The animal sacrifice will return. It's not there now. And besides, even if the temple were completed today, which it's not, it hasn't even been started. You have to have a red heifer without blemish, which you can only find here in Hereford, Texas.
All right.
I'm making that a joke. But the truth is, they do have contracts with people in Hereford to raise a spotless Hereford, because it has to be spotless. It has to be. And that Hereford has to be without any spot or blemish or anything to mar it. Well, that's hard to get. But only the Americans have the technology to get that kind of perfect Hereford. They don't even have Herefords everywhere else. This is a rare thing. Anyway. So.
But he'll stop the sacrifice.
Later.
Yeah.
Later when he comes back. Because he's already sacrificed. Jesus already died for all our sins. So we're people of faith. No one else is. They're all people of works. Every religion expects you to behave. Expects you to behave. Expects you to toe the line. Expects you to be a living example. Oh, that I wish that Christians today would bear fruit, which is not your fruit. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and all of those fruits, self-control. Those fruits of the Spirit are something Jesus produces through you. Through you. Because you're dead in Him. You're dead to this world. In Him. And so when you die in chair 5, you resurrect in chair 6. And now the fruit that comes forth, men, when they see your good works, they'll glorify the God. They'll glorify your Father in heaven. Not somebody else's. Your Father. Because they saw that He used you, and you must be a daughter or a son of the living God. You're born of the Spirit in 4. You're filled with the Spirit in 5. You're led of the Spirit in 6. Perfect man. Spirit, soul, and body. Spiritual man, 4. Soulish man, 5. Has to be killed. Your soul has to be killed. Lose your life, you find it. Then you find it. Not by going back to 4. But faith active in love. You'll be a lover of God. Ready for the Master. You'll be the first fruits out of the realm of the dead. And so will the Jewish people that also repent. And they already have. I mean, they are an immense host in Israel. So if you go to Israel today, you'll find many messianic Jewish people. So what does that mean? It means that they've accepted Jesus as their Messiah. Forget how they mean it. Forget. Don't look close. They have faith that Jesus already came as Messiah 2,000 years ago. Can you believe that Jewish people believe that? Well, they do. Rabbis believe that. Cantors believe that. In fact, in some places, they sing Christian songs without knowing it. Because it's written in such a way that it's Old Testament form, but it's New Testament reality. And they're singing to the Lamb, and they don't know what they're singing to. They're doing all that. In fact, Art Katz's mother, who was 93 when I met her, and she's now a Christian, by the way, she said, I was raised in Russia. She was raised in Russia. And she came over here, and he was like a princess. She was so doted upon in Russia. And when she came here, she had to go to Christian school because she was a young girl. And they taught her this song about the Lamb. And so one day, she loved that song. She just kept singing about the Lamb. And one day, she asked her mother, "What is a lamb?" "It's like a cow," the mother said. "It's like a cow." So it messed up her mind. "Oh, that's a lamb. Okay." And so she told me this story. And "I'm not a Christian," she said at that time, because she wasn't. "I'm not a Christian." And one of our church members here, friends of ours, was able to get her to be saved before she died. So it's powerful. Anyway, I'm just trying to tell you, many Jewish people have come to Yeshua, including Art Katz's mom. And she said to me, this is personal, she said to me, the next time we have Passover, you're going to be here, and I'm going to have Passover with you. So that's powerful, because she liked me. I don't know why. She liked me. Because I listened to her. Art doesn't listen to his mother. I asked him one day, you know, you need to get along with your mother. You need to love her unconditionally. Oh, he rankled at that. We were just alone eating pancakes, I think, at a place. And he just said, just go home and tell her you love her. I can't, he said. See, what you're asking me to do, I can't do it. Just go home and do it. It'll break you. You need to be broken. So that was funny. That was funny. He never did reconcile with his wife. He never did reconcile with his mother in any way that I know of. But he may have done it. I don't know. Because I know the word that when you give somebody a word, that word does not return void. So I believe his heart may have responded to me, because he had a new heart. But his head may have reacted to me. Yeah. So never worry about head. I only worry about the heart. So your heart is fixed. It's indicting a good thing. Now, go back to the jail. You're in prison in this jail, and maybe you have color TV, you know, whatever. But it's a miserable life being a prisoner, because you're not free.
Right.
It's not good to be in there. And everybody wants to be free, unless you're lukewarm. Did you know the lukewarm people actually enjoy being miserable? No. I'm serious. This is the bulk of Christians today. If you meet a Christian, you'll meet a depressed, miserable, self-hating person. Period. Because they had to work, and they never got paid. I mean, God will not pay you for laboring. Come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden. I'll give you rest. He wants to give you rest. But if you doubt him, if you don't believe there is a God, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, you misunderstand God, because he is a promiser.
Amen.
He makes promises, and you cannot obey a promise. You can only believe it. And that believing in chair 4 leadeth to chair 6 through 5. You have to suffer in order to be glorified. 5 is suffering. Glorified is 6. That's, you are now a mature adult. Every man mature in Christ. That's what Paul said. Colossians 1:28. Every man mature in Christ. Wow, what a goal for a pastor, that everybody who loves Jesus, chair 4, that everybody who loves Jesus, not just says they do, but actually do. They have a love for Jesus, and yet they live a sinful life. Everybody needs to be disciplined, discipled, and taught the truth by someone who has no fear of man. No fear of man. So I'm ready to die for any moment or be punished, or I don't care what. I'm in love. I'm in love with Jesus. So I don't care about that. I don't care how I die. I don't care when I die. But as long as I'm alive, I'm going to continue to serve the Lord with all my heart and soul and strength, not for money, not for payment, not because I was great. I don't think I'm great at all. I know I'm not. I know I'm worthless. Zero. Nothing. He must increase. I must decrease. So the prisoner behind this door is sitting there miserably for all those years. He may have some entertainment, because they often provide some entertainment for you. You have a library, maybe, and colored TV, and so on and so forth. But it's restricted. You can go out in the yard every once in a while, and so on and so forth. But it's restricted. Everything is restricted. So you're not free. You're not at liberty. They have church services and so on. There's all kinds of things. And many of those Christians are true Christians, just like us. Exactly. And they believe in Jesus, because that's the only hope they have. They know that. I mean, there is such a thing as a kind of jail conversion, that once you get in there, you become Christian. But this is the real thing, that some really repent. And we have some examples here in Texas. But the point is, you don't insist that your rights are to be defended. Did you hear what I said? You don't have a right to exercise your right. What you have a right to do is exercise your right and be suffered for it. You can exercise your right, and then you'll suffer for it. Because anyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted. Will be persecuted. Isn't that fascinating? I send you as sheep among wolves. Oh, wow. That doesn't sound good. A sheep has no defense against a wolf. That wolf will just gobble them up. But I know, I live by faith, so Jesus, my kinsman redeemer, will redeem me. Now, it says in the Old Testament, before I read the New Testament, Revelation 18, it says in there that comfort yourself, naham, naham, two words, comfort yourselves, that's reflexive, that's the middle voice. It's not active or passive, it's reflexive. It reflects back onto you, the doer. So, comfort yourselves, God says. Your warfare is ended. It's already ended by faith. By faith. Not by sight. Not by sight. Not by sight. Not by sight. So, by faith, I did obey the Lord's commandments. I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and I say it. And I love my neighbor as myself. I say it. But it's by faith, because I haven't seen it. Amen. I don't always feel that. I don't always emotionally feel good about that. I don't always want to do that. I sometimes want to do my own will. Yeah. Am I right?
True.
It is true, what I just said. And anybody here, you cannot gainsay. You cannot argue with me. I'm right. Because I have the authority of Scripture. So you don't yet look like who you are. It doth not yet appear that when he appeareth, you shall be like him. Just the very thing that these people would be made in my image, and then they'll be like us. They'll be our stewards. They'll answer to us. God will have that someday. Someday, over the rainbow. Well, that day is coming. So that day is not here now. It doth not yet appear. But when he appeareth, then immediately, and when he appears, a trumpet will sound. I'll get my new body and my new soul. You don't have it now. Daily you are renewing your mind. Daily you are learning to be a lover. But you're still a work in progress. And until Jesus comes back and that trumpet sounds, that immediately you'll have your new body and your new soul and your new heart all together one. Integrity. You'll be a perfect man. Perfect, male or female. Doesn't matter. There's no distinction with God. There's only one blood. Human. So you cannot have an orangutan sitting next to you and you receive blood from the orangutan, you'll die. That's cytochemistry. In other words, it's impossible. So having the blood of a pig or some other animal won't help you. I need blood. Okay, we have a pig here. Whoa, I don't want that pig blood. I can't survive. Don't give me that. We fixed it up. No, I don't want that. I don't want that. Only human blood. Now, there's types and so on and so forth. Don't worry about that. But you need blood. You need blood. So they try to find your type if they can. What type are you? I don't know. You have to know. You have to know. So this piece of paper is starting here, and it's plain as can be. You read it. 21 years. I'm making that up. 21 years for murder. Whatever. And no parole or whatever. Whatever it says on there. You have to pay that price. You owe a debt you cannot pay. Because you can't be perfect on your own. You never loved God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. You never loved your neighbor as yourself and see it. You can say it, but you didn't see it. So it's by faith. It's by faith. And God wants it that way. God wants you, until you're perfected, He will only come back if you're perfected. He wants you to stay here and then go to here and then go to here, but know it. You have to do it every day. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. This is once. Once I repent and I believe in Jesus, that's only the first cleansing of the temple. But the second one is where I'm delivered, and it says on that outside, I'll fold this paper over. I'm going to fold this paper over, and on the outside of the paper, I've doubled it. This is the double portion in the scripture. I've doubled your paper. And by folding it this way, it says on the outside, paid in full. It is finished. That's what Jesus said when he rose from the dead. You don't owe anything anymore. The jail door is open, and someone says, well, that person wasn't in there 21 years. Oh, yeah. But a kinsman redeemer came along and paid the price so that he could be free. He's a kinsman of mine? Yes, Jesus is a kinsman of you. He became human. He became Son of Man. He is the greatest man that ever lived. There's no one like him. But he said, I always do what's pleasing to the Father. He loved the Lord, his God, with all his heart. And he said, I did it for you, Jim. So that's yours. I just paid your debt. You're now set free. So you get out of jail, and there's no guard. There's no one there to say, the door is over there, you know, that's all. And they don't, because you're free. You're free to wander around, do whatever you want. Because you're no longer a prisoner. You are free forever. That's the objective truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a promise. Do you have to believe it? No. Many people don't believe that God is good. And they stay in the jail cell, even though it's open, and they know I could get out because of what it says in the Bible. But I don't know if I believe the Bible. I'm not sure. I think I believe it. I'm not sure if I believe it. And so they postpone the good news, even though they heard the words. They don't believe them because they don't believe that God is good. And they don't believe that God wants you to be free and happy today. That's what the Americans believed when they formed Texas in 1836 and again in 45. They believed that for religious freedom, we will survive our enemies because God is for us. And they drew a line in the sand and said, we're not going to stay on both sides. We don't want Santa Anna to win and he'll impose Catholicism on us. We don't hate Catholics. We don't hate Catholics at all. Many of the Mexican people are Catholic and they're fine. They're even joining us. They're part of us. We just don't want it forced on us by the government because it's not the government's role to force us like Nimrod that he wants to be Imperium and also Pontifex Maximus. I'm telling you the word of the Lord today. He's cleansing his temple third time. This is the third time. You will not be any longer associated with a lukewarm church, Laodicea. Amen. We're going to separate you out. Withdraw. So I'm reading it. You could sit in your jail cell because you want to be miserable, and you're used to being miserable. Did you know how deep your sin is? You're used to being, it's a familiar spirit to you. You'll stay in there even though you know you could get out because you believe there's something good in you and there's something good in man and there's something good on earth. You are a liar. That is not true. The Bible says the opposite. Only God is good. No one else is good but God. You couldn't be good, even if you tried. You cannot be perfect like God is perfect. You cannot be holy as God is holy. So, since you cannot be good, it's impossible for flesh to please God. Someone has to kill your flesh. Chair 5. Someone has to kill your soul, yourself, you. You're the problem. There is no political problem, economic problem, social problems. There's only you. You're the problem. Even though you're a Christian, born again, 4, because you didn't go on to 5 and suffer the death of you, you're still in charge. You're still in charge. So some people will stay in there because they believe they haven't expiated for their sins. They haven't paid for all their sins yet. And they'll stay in there even though they're free to walk out at any time. Paid in full. You're free. You're free forever and ever and ever. That's amazing. Amen. Now, the God will not change the word. The word is, you're free right now to serve God. But you have to do it by faith. Until he comes back again, and when you see him as he is, King of kings and Lord of lords. You see, this is the one that made you a priest king. Male or female? Male or female? We're all the same. We're all the same. There's no difference between... Once Jesus returns, you're not you anymore. You now have a new body and a new soul. And you're purified and you have only love. You know what God's doing to you now? What he's doing to you now, if you become a believer, chair 4. And then you proceed on to chair 5 and 6. He's giving you grace every time you do that. He's giving you grace. God is a grace giver. Grace means mercy, the first cleansing, and then deliverance, second cleansing. And now, to apply that to me, I need then to believe that I'm no longer a slave of Satan. I'm no longer a child of the devil. I am now a free man in Christ Jesus. I've been set free. Now let's read the word of the Lord today. This is it. And after these things, chapter 18, verse 1, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Now he has reflective glory from God, not his own. Not his own. He reflects the glory of God. That's why he's an angel. And you'll be higher than him. And he cried mightily, mightily. This is the word of the Lord. He's cleansing his temple today. It's a different time. With a strong voice saying, Babylon, the great, is fallen, is fallen. Babylon, the great, is fallen, is fallen. And is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. That's what you're watching on television. That's what you're watching every day. You're realizing this world is nastier than you thought. It's evil. And the Christians don't help. We're not adding anything. Now, I hope you're better informed, at least objectively, about the gospel, how good it is. You can walk out of that prison anytime you want. But if you want to be miserable, poor, blind, and naked, If you want to be like that, you're free to. Nobody can make you. Because you don't believe it and you want to postpone that thing. You read the words and you know, I could believe in that and walk out, or I could not believe in that. A fool says in his heart, there is no God. You're an atheist. You are someone that does not believe. You're a fool. Because you don't believe you can walk out. It's a promise. But I don't know if I believe that. Okay, you can postpone all you want. But it's written in such a way that he's not going to do another work to make you believe. He's already done what he's going to do. It's finished. When he said it's finished to telestai, when he rose from the dead, that means it's over. Paid in full. It is complete. It's finished. It's over. He's talking about chair 4. But you have to then by faith go into 5, because nobody wants to walk in the fire by faith. You don't want to face the enemy. You don't want to look face to face with the enemy. But you have to. I send you as sheep among wolves. But you're the only hope for the wolf. You're the only hope for the wolf. Because you have the truth in you. You've been set free. You were once a slave, but now you are free. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come and learn of me. I'm gentle, lowly in heart. Jesus never swore. He never did anything except what his Father did in heaven. So now I'm a Christian, and I want you all to be Christians like me. I do. I want you all to be like me, not in my life. I'm not talking about my life. I'm not talking about behavior. I'm talking about my faith. I want you to believe as I believe that Jesus is not only Savior, chair 4, Lord, chair 5, you submit to him, and chair 6, bridegroom, coming back for his bride. Woo! That is so real to me. I don't care about anybody else. I don't care if anybody believes anything I say. I believe I'm speaking the truth, and that's it. And I'll die for it. I'll be persecuted for it. I'll be hated for it. I'll be despised for it. It's okay. I don't care. I don't care. You can kill me today. I'm okay. Because you're already forgiven. I'm not mad at anybody. God's not mad. I'm not mad. So, I'm not talking about behavior. I'm talking about faith. I believe that Jesus Christ has folded over, paid the double for me. And it says on there, paid in full. It is finished. Victory. You're set free. Forever. Wow. I believe that. I totally believe that. Peggy can testify that I believe that. Every second of every minute of every day. I don't care about behavior. You don't make care about behavior. What I care about is his promise. I don't look at the behavior of mine. Did I believe and did I act this way and so on? I don't care about that. I can fail chair 5 by running out of the fire every time. I don't like that fire, you know. That's just flesh. That's just my flesh doesn't like fire. But fire is the most wonderful thing. The same fire that kills my flesh also purifies my spirit, man, which is now flooding into my soul. And into my body. And so, you may see me doing all kinds of things. That I'm a contradiction. I mean, there's no question about that. None question. None. Because I don't believe I'm good. And I never have believed I was good. You cannot think of a time that I believed I was a good boy. I never believed it. Even as a young child. My mother, you don't want to hear this, but my mother, even when she squeezed me when I was a little child, she said, "You pulled away." I don't think of a little child as pulling away, but it meant she loved me so much because she had to abort me 4 times, you know, to get rid of me. And then since she didn't, Peg, just it's okay.
It's 4:15. I'm going back to sit down back there.
Okay, okay. Peg always signals me that way. When she gets up, that means quit. And so I don't want to quit. I haven't even read to you the main verse. So I'm going to do it. Anyway, my mother said that. I don't think a little baby would resist that. But I know she squeezed me too tight because she was so happy that she had a child. She was so happy. I was born out of wedlock. Then my second father lasted a few years, and then it was over. And then the third father was Adolf Hitler. And I mean, it was just awful. But I thought it was normal. I mean, I didn't know any better. All I knew was I was bad seed. You ever heard of that? The bad seed. There's a movie on that or something or other. I was that. And I loved it. I loved it. I loved lying and cheating and stealing and conning people. I loved it. I was proud of myself for doing it because no one else is as cold and as nasty as I was. I didn't believe in God. Never went to church. Never at any time did I go to church. I was 11 years old before my third father, Adolf Hitler, sent me there to be a Lutheran. I didn't want to be a Lutheran, and so on and so forth. But that paid in full got to me. And I didn't get it till I was in Texas. I didn't get the gospel until I was here in Texas. I heard it. I didn't believe it. I was still in my prison. I didn't believe it. But one day, nightmare after nightmare, I would have, you know, and my nightmares were so vivid and so real that I saw the end of the world and I saw all kinds of monstrous things. And boy, that worked on me in such a way that I became like interested in Christianity a little bit because I didn't know what to do with the terror. Because I'd cry out in the night, "Ah!" Peggy said, "What's wrong?" "I don't know. I just had a dream." Whatever. And so I thank God for terror. I do. I thank God for terror because I was terrorized. Everyone is. I'll tell you, everyone is. Everyone is. But I knew it. I mean, I was well aware of it. God, I'm a pastor, but I'm terrorized. How do I become a Christian? I don't know, but I better read the thing again to see how good that good news is. I want to see if that really is true, if that promise is accurate. Now, let me read the last verse. This is the word of the Lord today. Here it is. "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication," Babylon the Great. Babylon the Great is a female. "For all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich because through the abundance of her delicacies." And I heard another voice saying, this is the word, "Come out of her, my people." That's what he's doing. "That you be not partakers of her sins, and that you be not receiving of her plagues." So, because she's sinned, God just wants you to pull away so that he can judge her. He cannot judge the wicked as long as you're among the wicked. So, pull away voluntarily. Don't hurt her. Don't do anything to her. Just pull away. Get out of the denomination that you're part of. Get out of wherever you came from. Whether it's Jewish or Catholic or Protestant or Buddhist or Hindu or whatever. And do you realize today that God is actually reaping a great harvest throughout the whole world? We're not losing. I'm sorry. The news media won't ever tell you that because they're not interested in it. But it doesn't make any difference. They don't want you to know that God is good because then they can be corrupt. They want a religion that helps them to be corrupt. Amen. Businessmen, pastors, everybody, they like a little bit of sin on the side. I mean, you get tired of not sinning openly. Sometimes you just want to eat too much or, you know, work too much or whatever. People have, they're driven by addictions. They're driven by them. And I realized during my time, you know what, Jim? You're the problem. You are the problem of you. You make bad decisions. You're not making wise decisions, and yet you're going to the top. You will be top because you're driven by passion. But your passion is misplaced. You don't love me. I know I don't. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't care if you're there or not there. I don't want to follow you. I feel you'll cramp my style. And I'd rather be a criminal. I'd rather be wicked to the hilt and just not tell anybody. Because then I can fool them and deceive them and trick them. So I was a nasty person. But nobody knew me. Even Peggy did not know me. She always thought when she criticized me that it would help. It didn't help at all. Pull away from her. Don't curse her. Don't curse her. Just pull away. Let vengeance be mine, saith the Lord. Don't you do anything. Because God will judge her out of the fire of his mouth, out of the fire in his eyes. He sees every sin, and he will be just. He has to be. So any sin you've committed, anyone, that's a blemish. It's a sin. It's a spot. It's a wrinkle. It's something filthy. God doesn't want any of that. You're not going to heaven unless you're pure. How? Faith. Active. In. Love. Three things. 4, 5, 6. You got to be a perfect man. Nobody can perfect man. Civilization has tried ever since Nimrod. It's tried to produce the perfect man. It's failed. But now, perfection is possible through Jesus Christ. I don't yet see it, but I believe it without seeing it. I believe it without seeing it. I believe that I will be purified when that trump sounds. You know what? I believe the word which is exalted above his name. I believe the word which is exalted, which says, Jim, just read it. Don't say if you believe it or not. Just read it. And I see, well, it says paid in full. Well, do you believe it? I don't know. I haven't thought about it. You know, well, just sit there until you think about it, because I'm not going to do anything more than I've already done. I've already done everything for you. I've done everything. I created you, then I redeemed you, then I gave you the Holy Spirit. I gave it all. If you didn't take advantage of it, you can't believe that it's been paid in full. This is not going to change. I always paid for everybody in full. You don't know how God is going to judge the wicked when he does. You don't know how, because only God reads the heart. Only God reads the innermost soul of a man. He knows what wickedness in your heart or what purity is in your heart. He knows. So I'm not doing that. Anyway, God today is cleansing his temple. God today is cleansing his temple. That's the title. God today is cleansing his temple. So what's going on today? It's God separating his people. Voluntarily, freely, without cursing and anything, pull away. Just pull away. What if you went to Texas rather than Utah? Rather than Saudi Arabia? What if you went to Texas? You might be set free. Do you know why people move here? It isn't just because their jobs. It isn't just for any human reason. It's because they also know there in Texas, they still believe the traditional junk. They still believe in America. They still believe in, you know, Texas, well, you know, draw a line in the sand and stick with it. Yeah, well, we will. I mean, Peggy and I have been spending time with all the people that were down in SREC. David's one of those. We were praying for them, and we've spent time talking to certain people that know what's going on, and they just said, your vote will be the deciding vote. They prophesied this. And so I wrote another email. I reversed my position, and I said, I'm no longer going to do that, but I didn't say I would do the new one. I just said, I won't do the old. And so I don't care how it voted out. I said, it's up to you. You decide that for yourselves. I no longer can support the person I was supporting. I'm wrong. And I had detailed what is the truth about that person. And I realized, wow, I made a big mistake. So I withdrew. I withdrew my endorsement of that person. He won by one vote. 32-31. One vote. And that person, it was accurate. That person was accurate who said those words to me. Because I was not going to do it. I was sticking with what I did. But he said, pray about it. I'm not trying to persuade you, really, but I'm trying to persuade you, if I can. Change. Now I realize, what I did without anyone, I'm not telling anybody, I don't care about it. Now, I'm not telling anybody, but what I did was powerful because I heard God. And one of our church members here in Dallas sent us a video of the whole thing. And when I read that, I went, wow, that's incredible. That's incredible. I would never vote for that person. So that's why I wrote it. I withdraw. I didn't say anything more. I withdraw. And I know that Tom Paukin here in Dallas, he was used to be the chairman of the Republican Party state of the state. And he wrote and said, You did the right thing. Peggy can tell you exactly what he said, but you did the right thing, changing your vote. And all I did is withdraw. But that vote, not just his, but others that had a vote that day, they voted as they did with their conscience, and they believed that they were right. But I believe I sinned by sponsoring somebody on a moment's... I heard their speech, and I went, I don't like that guy because I don't even know where he stands. This other guy fears God. But I found out, it's not like that. He's chair four, maybe. He talks chair four. He professes chair four, but not confess with the Holy Spirit. He professes, but not confesses. And I realized I have to be separate from that person. So I withdrew. Come away from her, my people. My people. My people. Come away. That's what he's doing right now. You don't have to join it. You don't have to be part of it. I'm just telling you. That's what he's doing. Separating us. And I believe this is the place to be. If I were in Chicago, I'd move here. If I were in California, I'd move here.
Amen.
If I were in Florida, I'd move here. Why? Because God has favored us. You know why? Because we withdrew. We're not like the rest of America. Our documents are stronger. Stronger than any other documents. It says in here, the Mexican government, talking about Santa Anna, because he was in charge. He took it over. The Mexican government denies to us the right to worship God, Almighty God, according to the dictates of our own conscience. And on and on and on. That's in paragraph 12 of our Declaration of Independence from Mexico. That's the way we did it, based on that. Based on that, not economic, political, and social issues. It's not that they rape our women and their houses take over and so on. It's that. I don't want religion imposed on me. We believe in freedom of religion. And that's guaranteed by your Constitution. Article 1-6, 1875, which hasn't changed to this day, that's still in place. Article 1-6 says, every man has a right, a natural and indefeasible right, to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of his own conscience. Taken straight. Taken straight. Amen. And that's the year. That's the year. 1835. That the last patriarch, the last founding father, died. And he was the last. James Madison. That's the year he died. So, but, and Texas then inherited that. Inherited the spirit of James Madison. Powerful. All right, God is good.
Hallelujah.